Good morning, boys and girls. Those of you who are well enough to be with us, well, we're turning, please, to Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to read some verses for you. We have read some of them already in our previous studies, but there's a matter I want to deal with today. I feel it very important. Let's start at verse 4 of Acts chapter 2. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That word ghost is an old English term that we would substitute the name Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised or sounded out abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marvelled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, in Cappadocia, in Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading of his word to all our hearts. Now, as I've said, I want to deal with an important matter that undoubtedly in this day of deception you will encounter. You may have heard something of it, you older ones, but sooner or later all of you will be confronted with this error, which is believed amongst a number, maybe quite a number, of good people. They're Christians, but they have been taught an error, and they believe it. And I'm telling you about it in order that you might not be deceived and carried away. There's a very false view taken of what happened here on the day of Pentecost. And the false view I'm speaking of is that there is a notion among many good Christians that the tongues referred to here were some sort of mystical, mysterious, spiritual means of speaking in a language unknown to men, unto God. And there are assemblies of Christians who engage, and I'll not attempt to be offensive, but really what they are doing is just talking a lot of gibberish, making up sounds, words that are utterly meaningless, and they think they're talking to God in the manner that took place on the day of Pentecost, when they all began to speak in tongues. But you don't have to look too hard at this portion to see that the tongues they were speaking in were actual languages, just ordinary languages. They were foreign languages to the people who were gathered in the upper room, but who now were able to speak in foreign languages. They hadn't been taught these languages. Just suddenly there was bestowed upon them by the Holy Spirit that enablement to speak in a foreign language. And this passage makes very clear that point. And those who make out that tongue is not an earthly language, but a language unknown to men anywhere, and by which Christians can talk to the Lord, that's an error. That's a fancy that foolish men have invented. Let's notice, first of all, and this was the immediate result of the Spirit of God coming down upon the disciples in the upper room. This happened immediately. It says, look at it there, verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now, all that happened without any impact upon the individual. The tongues of fire, the sound that was heard, that did not have an impact on the individuals. But then we read, they were all filled. That is something that happened to them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. So this was the immediate impact upon each one in that room. They began to speak, but they began to speak in other tongues. The Greek word, translated tongues, means the organ of speech. That's what the word means. All of you have one, and you know how to exercise it very well. For I can hear you up in my house when you're out there at break time and lunchtime. That's what the Greek word refers to, the ordinary human tongue, the organ of speech. And it is used here not only of the ability to speak that was given to these people in other languages, but you will notice that in the verse 3, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. That's a description of this flame that appeared above the heads of each one of them there. It was a symbol of that which had entered them, the Holy Spirit. We often speak of Christians who are energized and blessed by God when the Holy Spirit comes upon them and enables them to do something for the Lord. We often speak of such a person as being on fire for God. And we get that from the fact that the Lord here symbolizes what had happened to this people when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. There was a flame on them. They were on fire. They were burning like a candle. That's what they must have looked like. Each one of them sitting there and a flame above them, just like a candle. They were on fire for God. And any of you at home who have an open fire burning in the grate, and if you watch the fire burning in the grate, you have to notice that the flames all take on the shape and the likeness of a tongue. A bigger tongue than you have, but nevertheless a tongue. It has that same shape, and it's leaping and flickering, just like the moving of a tongue. Every fire has that appearance that is burning in an open grate. So that's what appeared above the heads of these people. A tongue of flame, a tongue of fire. And it's the same word, this tongue of fire that appeared on them, and the language they were speaking, which came from their tongue. Now, the languages, the tongues that they were speaking in, are clearly indicated here as being the language of all their neighbours round about, all the nations round about. In fact, the neighbours spoken of really are virtually all the nations within the Roman Empire, and that stretched from Israel away to the borders of India and up toward modern Iraq and Iran, and southward to the borders of Africa, right along to the very land of England. That was the Roman Empire. And the languages spoken that day by those people in that room and outside the room were the languages of the different nations in that area. It wasn't gobbledygook or gibberish, sounds invented by men, but they were actual languages. And we're told that very, very plainly. Look at what it says there in the verses 9 to 11. Starts off, how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. And then they list all the names of the nations that were represented. Remember what happened in Israel at that time. It was a special gathering of faithful Jews from all over the world, the Roman world, the Roman Empire. They all gathered to Jerusalem for the feast. But they had been living in these foreign territories for generations, for hundreds of years. And consequently, although they would have been taught to speak Hebrew in order that they could read the Old Testament books, which were written in Hebrew, they also learned the ordinary language of the land in which they lived, so they could speak the language of the land. It's true today, you know. Most Jews living in the United Kingdom speak English, but they can also speak Hebrew if they are devout Jews, and they can read their Bible in Hebrew. But every day they speak English. They speak English to their neighbour. They speak English to the greengrocer and the butcher. That's the tongue they use normally. But they have the ability also to speak the language, the ancient language of their nation. And so it was with these people. They heard in their own tongue wherein they were born. So I want to emphasise, boys and girls, you may encounter those who would say, oh no, no, this was a special language unknown to any, not an earthly language at all. But that's wrong. It was just a gift given them of God to speak in the language of their neighbours. Now, we have had missionaries come here, and we have had missionaries who come here before they leave for a foreign land, usually Africa. And what do they talk to us about? They tell us among the first things they have to do when they go out to that foreign land is learn the language. And that takes them years. You can't learn a language just overnight. But here, God, in order to get the gospel out immediately, gave his people the ability, in that first generation of Christians, he gave them the ability to speak in other languages. And right away, boys and girls, this indicates to us that the Lord wants the gospel to go out to other people. He wants his people to share the gospel. In this instance, it's clear God wanted the Gentiles. Now you know what I mean by Gentiles. I've told you many times before. I'm referring to those nations who are not Jews. The world is divided, you know, into Jews, and then the rest are all Gentiles. Oh, they may be called amongst us the English, the French, the German, the Spanish, etc., etc., etc. But in the Bible, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Be ye French, German, English, Irish, whatever. Non-Jews are called Gentiles. And here God bestows upon his people the ability to speak in the language of the Gentile nations, because he wanted the gospel to be given to the Gentiles. This was the beginning of a new era. When the Lord Jesus spent 3 years on this earth preaching and teaching, he kept within the borders of Israel. And there's only one occasion where he really spoke to someone outside of being a Jew. And then there was the case of him speaking to the Samaritan woman who, although lived within the Jewish territory, really was not a Jew. But generally speaking, he kept within Israel. But now we have reached a stage where it is the purpose of God to send the gospel out into all the world. And he equips his people to do that in this first generation. I want you to notice too just what it is that they spoke about. Because we're told by the people of the various languages of these nations that they heard them speak in their own language the wonderful works of God. God's people are not to talk about themselves. Their subject is clearly set down here, the wonderful works of God. What are the works of God? Well, I would divide them into two subjects. Creation, for God has created all things that exist. Without him, nothing was made. Man hasn't made anything. Man can take a piece of wood, cut it up, carve it, and turn it into a chair. But the material of the chair, the man did not make. He just altered it. That's all. That's all. It's like you girls. You can change your hairstyle, but you can't change your hair. That came from the Lord. That came from the Lord. Now, The wonderful works of God, first and foremost then, is the work of creation. One of the chief works that men deny. In every school, outside of a Christian school, the boys and girls are taught that the world came into existence not by an act of God. He's not the creator. But they set forth the notion. Well, I should say, they set forth the notions, because men can't agree as to how this world came into existence. Some say it was, oh, this, and some say, oh, no, it was this. And they're forever changing their views and notions. That's because they don't know. But we know. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's where it came from. And this is one of the great works of God, creation. The other work is redemption, the saving of the foolish sinner. It's a great work of God. And I would say to you boys and girls that between those two works, creation and redemption, the greater of them is redemption. In Genesis chapter 1, you read of God creating all things. And he did it just by speaking, just a word. There it was. But the redeeming of the sinner was a much more difficult work, a much more costly work. And that lovely verse, John 3:16, tells us about that. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave him to what? Gave him to die on the cross as the substitute of the sinner, bearing the sinner's guilt and condemnation and suffering eternal damnation on the cross. That's what the Lord Jesus suffered. But your sin was due. The punishment that was due to your sin, you're saved because Jesus bore that punishment. But then, not just yours, mine, and the teachers, and others who are saved, and out in the world, the million, and those who have lived before, the billions, all that guilt was laid upon the Saviour. What suffering that entailed, we cannot comprehend. So I say again, of the two works that I have mentioned, the work of redemption was much more difficult, much more costly, much more terrible for the Lord to accomplish. But that was the subject dealt with by those who were thus able to speak in the foreign languages of the Roman Empire. The wonderful work. And they were wonderful. Yes, they were wonderful. That word wonderful, if I'm not mistaken, appears only one other place. And it's used by the Virgin Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, before the Lord Jesus had been born. But she had been told by God that she would be the mother of the Messiah. And she immediately broke into wonderful worship and prayer. And she speaks of what God has purposed to do through her as a wonderful thing. And she was right. The bringing of the Saviour into the world, Mary being his mother, that was a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I might say, boys and girls, although what's happening out there in the world today, all the tinsel and the bright lights and the decorations in the towns and villages and the gatherings, it's all supposed to be celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus, but it's an invention of man. You only have to see that they're celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus by, generally speaking, doing that which is offensive to the Lord Jesus. They organize parties that are evil. They organize dances that are evil. They organize gatherings and public houses that are evil. And they're supposed to be celebrating the birth of the Holy One of God by doing evil. Well, that tells you that the whole process is not of God. The Lord Jesus was born earlier, till end of our summer. That's when he was born. That's why the shepherds were out in the fields, which they wouldn't have been doing in December, because even in Israel it gets very, very, very cold in December. One other thing I want to say is this. It says we do hear those who gathered to witness what this strange event was all about. It says, we do hear. the wonderful works of God. There's one thing that marked the ministry of the Lord Jesus, and I read about it just this morning in John chapter 6, and that was this. When the Saviour preached, many went away saying, "We don't know what he's talking about. We can't understand this. What is this doctrine that he's preaching?" You had that very wise man, Nicodemus, coming and saying, "You do great miracles. Nobody can deny that. But what do you mean I must be born again? I don't understand." But on the day of Pentecost, all these people from all regions said, "We do hear. We understand what these people are saying." And that's what God the Holy Spirit does. When the gospel is preached in his power, by his energy, the minds of men and women are opened. They understand what the gospel is all about. One more thing I'll say. We have a clear indication here that it was the will of God that the Gentiles were to have the gospel. If you study the life of Paul, you will discover he was a great preacher, went everywhere preaching, and he deliberately went where nobody else had been. He wanted always to break into new territory. But as he was visiting all these Gentile regions and nations, he was hated by many Jews for doing that. They thought, "This is wrong. The gospel's only for us, not for them. God is the God of Israel, and nobody else." And Paul was hated for going into all the world and preaching the gospel as Christ had commanded. And we clearly here have an indication that it was God's will that the Gentiles, which include us, hear the gospel. He gave his people the ability to tell of Christ in tongues, in languages that they ordinarily would never have known. Poor old Paul suffered all his days because of his obedience to the Lord, persecuted by the Jews, and in the end brought before authorities in Jerusalem and charged with all sorts of wickedness, and that resulted in him being taken as a prisoner to Rome, there to stand before Caesar, the ultimate court, and finally to be taken out and put to death. What for? Preaching the gospel to other nations. And Paul would have been able to do that. When you read the Acts, he's moving from this nation to this nation to this nation, all of whom had different languages. And if he had to learn a new language when he moved into a new region, he would never have got the work done. There would have been years spent learning new languages. But God gave him the ability, as was the case here on the day of Pentecost, to preach the wonderful works of God in a language he had not learned. The boys and girls, in this event, we see the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, all embracing, taking in all those nations. Are you saved today? God wants you to hear the gospel. He wants you to know you need to be saved. He wants you to know you may be saved. He wants you to know how you can be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, may you embrace and believe the revelation of the wonderful works of God today. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we pray for your blessing upon the word spoken. I pray, Lord, that if any of the boys and girls are not saved, may they hear today, even as those people on the day of Pentecost heard and thousands of them were saved. Lord, work salvation amongst us here in Kilskerry. Bless our school. Pray that your hand will be upon the youngsters during the days of holiday. And in the new year, Lord, may there be a gathering again in this place under the sound of God's truth. Bless us, we ask, therefore, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.